Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is so great to be with you guys. Little later than normal, and so I apologize for that, for my routine-oriented people out there. I know I'm one of these, you know, those crazy ones that just, like, everything has to happen at the same time. So apologies, little behind. The wife and I, the packing process has begun, and we're in shambles behind this backdrop. Is a disaster, but that is okay. Today's gonna be a fun one. Episode 1675, some roster questions, and we continue our countdown series going from number 23 all the way down to number 19. And I can see I put in the title a dollar sign instead of the pound sign, just to let you know kind of where today is. And that's okay, because we're just gonna have a good time. And the roster series has been a lot of fun. We're kind of getting to the back end of it now. A lot of quality players today. And not one, but two Jakes. You got backups that are perhaps the best at their position that are a backup. You got a rookie, the highest ranked rookie on the countdown series. It's going to be a lot of fun. And probably one of the all-time, maybe even eventually Ring of Honor type players. And you're like, whoa, 23 to 19, we're going to Ring of Honor guy? I think so. I think so. I know Notorious GAV will think so. So we'll see whenever you get there. So we're going to dive into this. And, you know, if you have questions, comments, as always, throw those in there. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. You guys are the best. And just a real quick update. We are going to be having our Zoom hangout session. That's everybody that's on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. That's Jerry Rice tier and above. We do an hour long Zoom hangout once a month. We're going to be doing that Monday, this upcoming Monday at 5:30 p.m. So Monday, 5:30 p.m. I have not put that out on those platforms yet, but I'm just giving you the warning there. What's up, Sin? I know you'll be there. So join us. 5:30 Monday Zoom hangout. It's time I get to listen to you. And we got a 7-day free trial. So you can go over there, sign up for free, join the Zoom hangout, meet some community, build some relationships. Or if that's not really your thing, you can just turn your camera and mic off and join and enjoy the conversation like you would a podcast. It's worth it. It really, really is. And look at this, the Striking Gold Podcast with the hat tip, hashtag HT, right back at you, Rob Louder, you stud. Want to say thank you for all the CCs. Look at the Flackers in the chat from across the pond. What's up, brother? Miss you, man. And Niners Bar. What's up, dude? There's some fun heavy hitters in the chat today, and that makes me very, very happy. Monkey, he's the best. I'll forgive the late start time considering this is like show 10 for the week. I told y'all, whenever I got back from vacation, it's about that time. All veterans report tomorrow. Rookies are already in. You're getting NFL news coming across the timeline. It is my job to make sure we are completely ready for everything that is the 49ers, and that's what we're going to be doing. And so now probably we'll not get a show out tomorrow. We're doing a garage sale. Man, I thought it was past the garage sale days, but we just have so much junk, you know, and everything that the kids didn't want, and they're gone now. We got to get rid of a lot of stuff. So hopefully some people will get it. If you're over the El Cerrito area, yeah, we'll be. It's crazy. It's posted on all the boards, but it's what it is. What's up, Rick? Glad you're hanging out in Chicago, man. Always great to see you. What's up, Jax? Ooh, Notorious, today is your episode. Today is your chance, your moment to shine. Oh, I love it. Tommy, it's okay if you're late. I will not turn you into the principal's office. No tardy marks for you, my man. Just glad you're here. I should not have highlighted that one. But yeah, we are downsizing, downsizing, downsizing. The apartment we got, which I'm super pumped, it is less than half the square footage of the place we currently reside. So like, yeah, you divide it in two. And with a little extra. So we will see. I'm getting rid of my car. Like, we are just totally, we're going to try it. I don't know if it's going to work, but it's what it is. Now, I do want to take a second, and I don't typically do this, but this is very, very important to me. I have to give a huge shout out to one of the legends. And you see him in the chat sometimes. And if you've been to Zoom Hangouts, shout out to the man, William Bill Kerrigan. He is a Bay Area realtor and a dear friend. One of the first people that I came into contact with when I started this 49ers Rush podcast, he and his family have had season tickets and have not missed a home game in 20 plus years. He is the best of the best. His family's incredible. Shout out to Sam. He got a grandkid coming his way. But if you have any real estate area needs, especially if you're around the Redwood City area, Bill Kerrigan is such a name that you need to know. Responsive, reliable, results driven. He's been doing this for over 40 years, proven real estate success. He's an expert buying, selling, you name it. He's closed over 1,000 deals. So if you need any real estate help, whether buying or selling a house, anything along those lines, please reach out. KerriganProperties.com. That's K-E-R-R-I-G-A-N properties.com. You're not going to meet a better human being. They don't exist like this man. So if you need anything, like, please take time to reach out. KerriganProperties.com. Dude's a legend. I could talk about this dude for a long time. He has been incredible to me and my family and just such a great dude. I've watched so many games alongside this dude. He's awesome. Anyway, KerriganProperties.com. If you need help, go check it out. He will take care of you. And tell him John from the 49ers Rush sent you. That's what's up. So let's dive in, baby. Let's get to number 23, Michael Jordan's number, right? Mac Jones. Who? Mac Jones, the best backup quarterback in the NFL. You argue with the wall. There is nobody that is better than him. Now, it took some time, not really a lot of time, but it took time to win people like me over for Mac Jones. I was not a Mac guy. You go back to whenever he came out of the draft and the Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones debate. I was 100% in on Trey Lance. Nailed the pick. It just didn't work out. Would Mac Jones have been better? And I was so anti-Mac Jones for several reasons. One, all of his off-the-field antics growing up whenever he was a kid. And I didn't think that the ceiling was there with Mac Jones, which I would say probably held true. If you're going to trade all those first round picks and move up, you got to swing for the fences. Mac Jones is better than Trey Lance. We know that now. That is a definitive answer. However, Mac Jones is still kind of on the cusp of that kind of 22nd to 30th best quarterback in the NFL. And I felt like that was almost always going to be a ceiling. He's an absolute stud and how tough he is, picked himself up off the turf time and time and time again, played so tough. Won all the fans over, won the locker room over, won the coaching staff over. He's just been incredible. And for the crazies out there that are trying to start quarterback controversy still, Mac Jones got up there behind the podium and said, I'm here to back up Brock Purdy. That is my job, and that's what I'm going to do. If they need me, I'll be there. That is rare. And I don't know if you're watching the quarterback series on Netflix or have watched it this season. Like, you watch guys like Joe Flacco, and this isn't really shade at Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco will even say, I don't want to be a backup. I am not here to be a backup. And you can tell, like, his attitude and demeanor, he's not horrible to his teammates by any stretch, but, like, it takes a unique individual to accept the role that you've been brought in for, execute that role, and just know your role, man. That is Mac Jones. He was 49 on this list last year, up 26 spots, up to 23. Wears jersey number 10, 6'3", 217, 27 years old. Probably one of my favorite things is that it was a two-year deal. If it was a one-year deal, he would have went and signed for $30 million somewhere. He would have got a big deal this year. Now, you get back-to-back years with very, very cheap, inexpensive quarterback play, and all of that is thanks to Shanahan. People want to play for Shanahan. The amount of quarterbacks that have made career-long money because of Kyle Shanahan. CJ Beathard's still in the league. Nick Mullins still in the league. Jimmy Garoppolo on the verge of retirement, but that dude has made so much damn money. Kyle Shanahan played a huge role. Trey Lance is still in the league. Trey Lance is making more money than Mac Jones is this year. Like, it's a testament to who the coach is, the quarterback whisper. It's the most quarterback-friendly system out there, and everybody thrives in it. And this reclamation project that is Mac Jones, he's going to pay huge dividends. He's going to get paid big time, big time, big time, big time. He played his college football at Alabama. McCorkle Jones, one of the all-time coolest, nerdiest middle names. My middle name is Lamar. Way cooler, but McCorkle's pretty badass. Went to Bowles High School in Jacksonville, Florida. Dad played tennis at Florida State. Brother Will played soccer at Mercer. Sister Sarah played tennis at College of Charleston. It's a family full of athletes. And McCorkle was a child model. You know, was in commercials and stuff as a kid. Then starts to thrive in high school. Went to the regional final as a junior. Won the 4A state title as a senior. Commits to Alabama. Eventually led to a first-round selection. He was picked 15th overall. And yet the Niners were rumored to take him at 3 overall. You had Adam Schefter saying it's pretty much a done deal. You had Matt Maiocco saying it's done deal. It's going to be Mac Jones at 3. All of them were wrong. The insiders were wrong. Turned out to be Trey Lance. I do not buy into the somebody convinced Kyle Shanahan to not take Mac Jones. We'll see once, you know, Kyle Shanahan retires and all these players are done. We might get some of the truth to that. But I obviously the Trey Lance decision was wrong. You should have stayed put. And if you did trade up, man, there's Hall of Famers galore that you could have picked. Could have had Penei Sewell. You could have had Ja'Marr Chase. Could have stayed put. You got Micah Parsons. I don't think Micah Parsons was on the 49ers board, though. But they took Trey Lance. Mac Jones goes 15th. Goes to the Patriots, leads them to the playoffs, then falls off a cliff, goes to Jacksonville as the backup, does a decent job filling in for Trevor Lawrence when he's injured, comes to the 49ers, and he's in his sixth season. Mac Jones has played a lot of football. 63 games played, 57 career starts. You look at his career-long stats, 66% completion percentage. That was on a huge uptick last year. 12,000 passing yards, 67 touchdowns, 50 interceptions. Fits this offense to a T. Now, check down whenever he was behind Jake Brindle and Hennessy last year. Man, he lit Christian McCaffrey up. It was like 15 targets a game. Check down, check down, check down, check down. It didn't have the wide receiver prowess. Him and Kendrick Bourne linked up very, very well. They had history together. He goes 5-3, Mac Jones does, with the 49ers, which is awesome. Backup quarterback, the general rule is this. If a backup quarterback can go 500, you are ecstatic. A backup quarterback goes 5-3, might not be a backup quarterback, right? Now, the weird thing with Mac Jones was he couldn't get past that 20-point threshold. He'd get to it every single week, but there were no 30-point games. There were no high 20-point games. It was 20 points, and that was about it. Like that, the explosives weren't there outside of what he did with Kendrick Bourne, a couple passes to Kittle. There were even some issues with the Kittle Mac Jones symmetry, or you know, syncing up. Eventually that went away, but not a lot of explosives outside of Kendrick Bourne. Definitely the best quarterback too in the NFL, and I would not be surprised. I think the trade conversation is put on ice for now, Mac Jones being traded, unless a major playoff contender loses quarterback. You go back to the Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford trade with Minnesota, something along those lines. But I think along the trade deadline is probably where it's going to make the most sense. Kyle Shanahan does not want to trade Mac Jones. Brock Purdy has missed a lot of time in his career. He's so damn tough, but he's had some injuries. It's so nice. You sleep so well knowing Mac Jones, you step in at any moment, we're going to go 5-3. It's really, really nice comfort that a lot of teams in the NFL do not have. So if somebody does come calling, whether at the trade deadline because of an injury, whatever, they're going to have to pay up. I think it's going to cost a high second round pick, which, man, can a bad team or a good quality team that is trying to make a playoff push offer that? That's hard. It might take a second, late second and a player, or a second and a fifth, something along those lines. But even if you don't trade Mac Jones and he just, you know, best case scenario, sits on the bench the entire year, Brock Purdy stays healthy, he goes and signs elsewhere at the end of this season, well, then the 49ers will get a 2028 compensation pick. And that's how it works. If you trade him before the trade deadline, you get a 2027 draft pick. That 2027 draft is loaded. Those draft picks are going to be hard to part with from all these different teams of the NFL. So if you can't get a second rounder in that 2027 draft, I'm doing it. Period. Period, period, period. But we'll see. If not, you wait. You get a 2028 draft pick. Not that big of a deal. The Niners will not be making huge free agency signings. They are over the cap already for next year. Now, with them rolling forward, they're league-leading $70 million. That's going to help some. But the next two seasons, 2027 and 2028, the 49ers are the only team in the NFL that are currently projected over the cap. They're going to get under the cap with the rollover, restructures, you know, releasing some players, all those different things. But out of 32 teams in the NFL, the 49ers are the only team to be over the cap in 2027 and 2028 currently. So it's not like they're going to be out there making $30 million free agency signings. I do not expect that to take place. Really, really do not. Now, Mac Jones played in eight games, started eight games, played 11, 554 snaps, 13 touchdowns, six interceptions. He signed a two-year, $8.4 million deal. He's made $20 million in his career, and he's the solid number two. I remember people saying, oh, maybe Adrian Martinez can pass Mac Jones. I was just like, dude, y'all are crazy. There's 0% chance that is going to happen. It is not happening. It did not happen. Anyway, you deal with that with what you will. Look at this, Sid. Yeah, we were so wrong on Mac. So tough, fun behind the podium, and whenever all the pressure is gone, Mac Jones has grown up. He's 27, but like, he's just been awesome. He really, really has. Hey, I'm with you, Sin. Doc, what's up, man? Get him, JC. If you could sign any free agent right now, who would it be? Ooh, I gotta pull up my free agency list. I do not have. Let's see here. Let me get my research. I'm pulling up. One of my favorite things that goes out, Mike Clay puts out a list of free agents. I would look at the tight end room. Gosh, I don't know who's been signed off this list. Man, I'd go get Taysom Hill. There's a lot more high. I think he's still available. There's a lot more guys out there that would be worth it, but I would want a tight end, and we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to talk a lot more about the tight end position today. So we'll stay with that. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself. You can tow it. Or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. It's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. What's up, guys? Happy Friday, man. Happy Friday. I love it. Ben, he says, I was wrong on Mac and Trey too. Now I'm a Mac fan. Not sure what he always was, but he's a class act now. Yeah. His past, he was a kid. Kids make stupid choices and those get put under the microscope during draft time. They grow up, and that's great. Some guys are able to overcome that immaturity. Mac has done that, and that is huge. And I do also just have to say thank you to Ben, NY Niners, as you know him, Josh, 49ers, Faithful 90, and Zach. They are, you know, they help with this entire countdown series. They are freaking awesome. They're just the best. And a lot of it takes humility. Mac Jones got humbled. No doubt about it. Gets traded. You know, put on the back burner, but he's awesome. Logan, I'm not a fan of Mac Jones per se, but I do have more respect for him now than I did back then. Yep, 100%. There's no doubt about that. Law of all, what's up, brother? I get the impression the leaders of the team want to see Mac Jones on a long-term role. We may get a quarterback controversy in the near future. I'm probably out on this one. I don't think that there is a way that there is a quarterback controversy. Brock has proven across multiple seasons that he is the guy. He's incredible. He's the perfect attitude and all those things. And I think his ceiling is much higher than Mac Jones because of how greedy he is, his mobility. I just think he offers more. I really, really do. And I do not see a way that you can keep both. Now, Matt Maiocco say the 49ers are trying to sign him long-term. I don't see that in the cards. I really, really don't. I'd be happy if they did. But, yeah, notorious Mac Jones boom box walkout controversy incoming. Dude, let's do it. Let's do it. Logan, thank God for, you know, literally Brock Purdy or the Niners would be a – it'd be rough. The Niners got really, really lucky with what it is. You know, landed with Brock Purdy in the seventh round. Freaking awesome. Just awesome. All right, let's get to number 22 on our roster countdown. The highest rated rookie. I asked you guys an episode ago, who is going to be the most impactful rookie of the all eight that were picked on the 2026 season? Almost everybody said the same answer. Romello Height, who got drafted in the third round, picked 70th overall. The edge rusher that, man, he's been on a jersey. Was at Auburn for 2 years. Was at USC for 2 years. Goes to Georgia Tech for a year. Then Texas Tech. This guy has traveled more than John Chapman travels in a freaking football season. He's played everywhere. Everywhere. All of them in the South, though. You do have to say that, right? I know USC doesn't count in the South, but from, you know, a geographic standpoint. All of them, you know, in the South, which is interesting. Romello Height, 6'3", 239. He's small. He's small for an edge rusher standards compared to what the 49ers usually get. You look at Mikael Williams, Nick Bosa, Sam Oh, Keon White, Drake Jackson. You don't get a lot of these small guys. You got to go all the way back to Dee Ford, Bryce Huff, right? These edge pass rush specialists, which is exactly what I see Romello Height being. And whenever you watch the tape, he kind of had a huge season that exploded that he hasn't had. He's played a lot of football. He's played six seasons in college. He only had one kind of wow season, and it took him at Texas Tech being surrounded by a lot of quality talent. Everybody on that defensive line got drafted for him to have an impact. And so that kind of worries you a little bit. But then you look at the 49ers, and it's like, dude, this guy gets to play with Nick Bosa. He has played with Oso Odighizuwa. He has played next to Alfred Collins, who's second round pick. CJ West, fourth round pick. Grayson Halton, fourth round pick. Like, he's playing with some talent. Keon White, second round pick. He's stepping into a very similar situation that he was in at Texas Tech. And so whenever you're talking Romello Height, he's 25-year-old rookie. That's weird as hell to say. You got not one, but two 25-year-old rookies this year. Born and raised in Dublin, Georgia. I've been to Dublin, Georgia. It's a good time. Went to Dublin High School. Six siblings, one brother, five sisters. Nickname is Mello. So Romello, nickname Mello. That's freaking awesome. Three-star recruit coming out. And, man, again, Auburn, USC, Georgia Tech, then Texas Tech. Finished his college education with a bachelor's in American pop culture at USC. What? You can study American pop culture? I'm curious. I'm a big trivia guy, right? Like, I bet Mello could crush it. Really could. Ran a 4.6 40, and he's jacked. Like, whenever we say he's small, 6'3", 240, that's small from an edge standpoint. You look at him, he's like a chiseled running back that's 6'3". He looks like Derrick Henry. Like, he's got very similar height, weight, all those things. He just plays a different position. So it's funny, we call him undersized, but if he was a running back or a tight end or a linebacker or whatever, you'd be like, dude is huge. 6'3", 240, dude's jacked. Undersized for the position, speed, burst, and bend. Explosive lower body, blitzes from everywhere. Got a lot of production on stunts. So this is one of the things that I'm really, really excited about, because having the defensive coordinator that is creative, Robert Saleh, that's not really his thing. Chris Kusarik, not really his thing. But you look at the new DC, Raheem Morris, that is his thing. So you're blending a little bit of, okay, what is Melo's best traits, Romello Height? Dude, blitzing and being creative and stunting and doing all these loops and whatever else. Dude, that's your new DC's jam. So it's kind of a best of best there. Unreal bend and consistency shows on tape. This is our, before the Niners drafted him, our draft write-up in the 49ers Rush draft book. Hands and hips work perfectly together in pass rush. Linemen whiff on him consistently. He changed the directions off the charts. Bend is awesome. The film reminds me of an and one mixtape. Y'all remember that? The Professor? Oh, man. Like, that is the way Romello Height blitzes. He's just like a phantom out there. Guys whiff on him consistently when they go to engage tackles. They just miss. Played 1,600 snaps, almost all as an edge. Now, here's what's crazy. He's played six seasons, but he was never just an every down type player. So on the experience metric of all the edge players, he only got a 6 out of 10. Even though he played six seasons, he's been a pass rush specialist his entire career. Versatility 2. You know exactly what he's going to do. Speed 7, acceleration 8, injury 7, pass rush 10, run game 3. He went bad against the run. I don't think he's going to be asked to do that his rookie year at all. He's going to come in, play 20 snaps a game, and that's it. And you're hoping he can be an impact player that forces quarterbacks to get the ball out quick. That's it. Niners had 20 sacks last year. Romello Height is one of the core principal players that is here and brought in to fix this situation. Ah, he's awesome. You look at him last year, played 600 snaps. 21 tackles, 2 tackle for loss, not huge in the run game, 9 sacks, 62 pressures. He had a pass rush win rate, 22%. That's one out of every 5 snaps that this guy dominates. Really, really good. Havoc rate, 15.7. That was 12th best in the class. You got him in the third round. Overall PFF grade, 92.6. Run game, 65. Pass rush, 92. 3 forced fumbles. He reminds me the athletic comp is Will McDonald IV. He was a first-round pick to the Jets. Play style, Byron Young. Byron Young is the only edge player that was drafted the third round or later to get 8 sacks their rookie year in the past 4 drafts. Guess who his DC was? Raheem Morris. Do I expect Romello Height to get 8 sacks? I do not. I would put the over-under at 4.5. Again, only 3 players in 4 seasons have had more than 8 sacks their rookie years combined. All 3 of them were coached by Raheem Morris, by the way. All 3 of them. I'm sorry. No, there's four players. Yeah, all four players coached by Raheem Morris. Why not? Why not? He's a fun player. I really, really like him. He's going to come in on pass rush downs only. That's Romello Hight. He is freaking awesome, man. I'm pretty excited to see what he can do and can he blossom into. I mean, he's 25. So the learning curve, let's go. Height is small. The irony. Yeah, I like that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We're scrolling. I'm trying to move the conversation. I know anytime I talk about quarterbacks, it's you get guys on some trends, and I apologize for that. You guys are incredible. My sack prediction for Height, I would put the over-under at 4.5. Again, you look at the Niners last year. I don't think – did they have – they had one player get over that, I think, last year. I mean, they only had 20 sacks. Let's see here. I'm scrolling on Pro Football Reference, which is my favorite site ever. Yeah, you didn't have one player over 4 sacks last year. Bryce Huff had 4. Cleveland Farrell had 4. Sam Oh had 3. Bosa 2. Keon White 1.5. Like, now, that was apocalyptically bad pass rush last year. Bosa getting hurt. Mikael Williams getting hurt. All those things. But 4.5 sacks, I don't think is a negative. I really, really don't. I know in today's society, it's like, oh, if you don't get double-digit sacks, you suck. That's not a reality in the NFL world. It's just not what it is. Kimbrough, that's what we need. A pass rush specialist. And very similar to what Aldon Smith did his rookie year. Like, I want to treat it the same way, where Vic Fangio basically said, look, kid, you just come in and rush the passer. We'll develop, and you got to like week 10, 11, 12. Then Aldon started playing base downs. But the build is so different. Aldon was an alien from day one. Romello is not going to be that. Small arms, undersized. I don't think there's going to be any point in Romello Height's career where he's an every down player. I just don't see that. And that's why he fell to the third round. But as far as roles go, yeah, you want that Aldon rookie year where it's just you do one thing. You go over there and you rush the damn passer. That's it. Law of awe. We need a demon pass rusher. Post haste. It's been what's missing for I don't know how long, probably since D Ford. And even that D Ford window was a small glimpse. It was 2019 and that was it. Yeah, way better than Huff. Huff was really bad last year. Huff was decent for like 2.5 games, and then he was terrible for 15 games. Huff was really, really bad. Like, the Niners were going to release him, I'm 100% convinced, before he retired. It was bad. Bid, I'm thinking Height gets 8+. He's walking into a perfect situation. That'd be awesome. I hope he does. I hope he does. I know Brad Graham said he expects it. I know, you know, Ant from 40 Hours Cutback expect it. I know Wayne is really, really high on it as well. I'm very high on Romello Height as well. I had a second round grade on him. I'm struggling saying 8 sacks. 8 sacks is hard, man. Very, very hard. Yeah, Huff was not the stuff. Dude, Notorious just coming out spitting bars today. I appreciate that. Ben, Huff was fine until he got thrown into a role he was never intended to be. That is true. He was really bad against the run. But, like, the pass rush never came. It was there for, like, 2 plays, and that was it. He did have 15 quarterback hits. He led the team, doubled anybody else on the team there. I think that is fair. But, man, I just remember those last 2 months of the season where it's like, dude, this guy, he's taking snaps because you got nobody else. He's really bad at football. It was bad. Oh, it was bad. Yeah, Huff was good until the Bosa injury. It happened 2 games in, right? He was never intended to play so much. He was bad in all the snaps he played, though, those past 2 months. Like, I get it. And I hope his journey goes well. He made a lot of money for an undrafted free agent, and awesome. Just awesome. But, yeah. Now, speaking of awesome, look at this, man. Shout out to my boy Rick. He came through with this new flyer that we got up for Melbourne, Australia. And so if you guys are going, if you're in Australia, going to the game or you want to, we still have complete packages up. Whether it's a la carte, you just want to come to the day before rally, you want to come to the all-inclusive tailgate, or if you need your flights, hotels, transportation to and game, game tickets, all those things, we have you covered. Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. That flyer is fire, man. I cannot wait. It's going to be a trip of a lifetime. Hope you guys get to come with us. We have similar packages up for Mexico City as well. Again, if you want hotels, flights, or you want to fly down there on your own, you can do all those different things. You just want to come to the day before rally in Mexico City. You want to come to the all-inclusive tailgate right next to the stadium. We got you covered, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And if you don't know what our events are like, here's a small picture. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Check it out. Number 21, by far fan favorite. Oh, local, tough as hell. Just waited. Needed the proper amount of seasoning. Not one, not 2 years, 3 years chilling on the practice squad before he got his chance. But when Los Gatos got his chance, what does he do? He steps in week one on the road. Almost a walk-off touchdown jump ball against Seattle. Jake Tonjes, are you kidding me? All the way up to 21? He was on the 2023 49ers roster midseason. They added him in. No playing time. 2024, no playing time. He was number 77 on the roster countdown. 2025, he was number 61. They paid to bring in Luke Farrell. Drafted. You know, all these different, you know, Braden Willis, you bring in, I don't even want to say the other guy from Alabama, bring him in, draft him in the third round, doesn't matter. The mainstay, the longevity, the perseverance, Jake freaking Tonjes. How do you say his name and not smile? Dude was awesome. Two of the biggest wins last year, responsible. Two of the biggest wins played key roles. He had, you know, six catches against the Rams in the overtime win, the walk-off touchdown pretty much against Seattle. Anytime Kittle was banged up, which was a lot last year, Los Gatos, Jake Tonjes comes in, just freaking dominates. 6'4", 240, wears jersey number 88, but he's number one in your hearts. Love this dude. And what's crazy is he's 26 right now. He'll turn 27 right before the season starts. Jake Tonjes ain't going anywhere. They had the restricted free agent tender on him. They could have just tendered him. They said, no. We're rewarding this guy, not with the tender. We're giving him not one, but a two-year deal. This dude got paid. Two-year, $8 million deal, $5.5 million guaranteed for the traveling undrafted free agent. You reward loyalty. And this is one of the many reasons why I say all the time, if you know anybody that is an undrafted free agent or gets to be a part of a practice squad, if the Niners offer you, you are an idiot if you do not take that. They have used the practice squad better than any team in the NFL. They will sit a guy on the practice squad for 1, 2, 3 years and wait. But if they believe in you and you get your chance, man, you Emmanuel Mosley, you freaking Colton McKivitz, you talk about, Azeez Alshire, Jake Tonjes. You can go on and on and on and on and on. Jordan Mason, Matt Breida. The Niners have welcomed the practice squad and expanded the practice squad, and they have used it so damn well. Jake Tonjes is awesome. Local kid, man. Went to University of Cal. He was there for 4 seasons. Played everything while he was there from Los Gatos. He began his college career as a walk-on at Cal. Dude didn't even get a scholarship at Cal. fought, did everything he could through five seasons, played 41 games. He had 47 receptions, 620 yards, four touchdowns. Played all over. He was a tight end. He was a fullback. Even played some split out wide receiver. And in high school, he was kind of did a little bit of everything. Varsity basketball. He played quarterback in high school before switching to tight end, defensive end. Dude's just awesome. He got his bachelor's in American studies and a graduate certificate in business administration at Cal. Undrafted free agent 2022. And the Niners weren't even the team that found him. He got signed by the Bears. Bears released him. Niners picked him up immediately, and they just kept him. He just followed George Kittle around. He was at tight end U. Followed George Kittle around. Brought back not once, not twice, three consecutive seasons. Finally got his chance. Oh, man, did he pay dividends. He didn't play a snap until 2023. And you look at, like, these are the snaps for Jake Tonsch's career, okay? 2022, he played 16 snaps, mostly special teams. 2023, zero snaps. 2024, 34 snaps. Last year, 470. Are you like, oh, man, gotta love it. No touchdowns, no receptions, no anything for one, two, three consecutive years. Then he steps up last year, 40 catches, 366 yards, five touchdowns. Best moments of the year, touchdown against Seahawks. Had six or more catches in not one, not two, but three games. Rams, Bucks, and Bears, six or more catches. He had more touchdowns last year, five, than Ricky Pearsall's had in his whole pro career. Pearsall's had three touchdowns. He had none last year. And again, Tonsch has played 470 snaps. Pearsall's got 1,000 snaps under his belt. Like, and I understand they're completely different players, but I think the reason why I bring it out isn't so much to take shade at Pearsall. It's to glorify the impact that Jake Tonsch has had in such a limited role. Dude was on fire last year whenever he got played. Now, the worst part about it is Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust him and Kittle together for some reason. Jake Tonsch is not a Pro Bowler. Jake Tonsch is not an all-around, well-rounded tight end. He struggles blocking. That's a huge issue. Why? I understand why. But Luke Farrell sucks. I want Kittle and Tonsch together. Tonsch at least provides pass game effectiveness. I mean, he just does his damn job consistently. I freaking love Jake Tonsch, man. I freaking love Jake Tonsch. Oh, look at this, Kibro, my man. Thank you for your generosity. Your positivity, everything you bring, man, just makes my life better. I thank you so much. He says, thanks for the grind this week, John. Getting excited about the season. So good to hear from the faithful this week. Dude, we are full steam ahead, baby. Full steam ahead, baby. Ugh. The 49ers report tomorrow. And yeah, like the next couple pieces of news, they're going to be bad news. You're going to get the pup and the NFI out there. We talked about that this week. Prepare for it. Understand any player that gets put on the PUP or NFI can be activated at any point. This is not a death sentence. They don't have to miss game time. Not yet. There will be players on the PUP. But the grind starts, baby. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. What's up, Tech Bill? Appreciate you, man. Oh, look at this. Notorious. Juice that like button. I like that. I like that. I ain't showing that one, law of all. That is a friend. She's awesome. Logan, Chapman with Tonsch, our tight end room looks horrible. Yeah, the goal isn't for Tonsch. Tonsch is the perfect tight end three, especially paired with an aging Kittle. But what he brings in the receiving game, you like, dude, clutch. He's freaking awesome, man. Jake effing Tonsch. Yes, Tonsch is solid in the red zone. Throw it up. We made so much money on Tonsch last year. You know, we do our bets in season. We'll do that again this year. But, man, every time Kittle was out, Tonsch was automatic hit on the over on receptions and yards. One of my close buddies that makes way more money than I do, that's a low bar, he sent me a screenshot because I said, dude, I'm betting pretty big. Big for me is like $100, right? Never bet what you can't afford to lose. And if you have a gambling problem, never gamble. But this dude threw down a couple G's on the bets that I said, and he sent me a screenshot, made like 10K. That was awesome. I freaking love it. We made a lot of money on Tonjes. Kimbrough, yeah, Kittle, Tonjes, Evans in the red zone. Yes, please. Yes, please. I want Stripling in there too. Stripling's bigger than a couple of those dudes. Yes. And CMC, yes. You got to have five eligibles. Yeah, give me Kittle, Tonjes, Evans, CMC, Stripling. Those are your five eligibles. Oh, that's 12 personnel. 49ers in that all the time. Not with Kittle and Tonjes. I think there was one touchdown last year, and I know this because on my morning walks when I'm watching through game tape, I don't remember the opponent, but I see the route combination and the route stem. You had a tight end arrow route from Tonjes, who was the inline guy, and you had a five-yard stick outside move from Kittle, and Brock Purdy rolls out and throws it, and it looked like it was going to Kittle because you had, you know, Tonjes on the shallow right at the goal line, and then you had Kittle at the back end of the end zone, so they're kind of stacked on top of each other, and it looked like the pass was going to Kittle. Tonjes snapped it, snagged it, and took it away from him. Got a touchdown. But it was like one of the few reps all year where Tonjes and Kittle were out there at the same time. We need more. I need more cowbell. I got a fever. Oh, man. Captain, yeah, thank you for taking the bait there. I appreciate you, brother. Jake Tonjes, a man amongst boys. Man, I did want David Njoku so bad. That would have been a perfect signing. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. Atomic, thanks, man. Appreciate you welcoming me back. You are awesome. Oh, look at this. We got the legend of the house, Mr. Dave Gill himself, finally catching you live after a long time. We are so almost back. Thank you for all you do. Yeah, he's one of the executive producers of this show year in and year out. He's why we were able to go live. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Now, we go from Jake Tonjes, which makes you smile, to number 20. Not my favorite player. Not close to my favorite player. But definitely an integral part of the 49ers team. And I will say this, Mr. All-Time Watcher, Jake Brendel, did have some highlights last year. That was new. It was not all block and stop and turn around and watch your teammate get hit. Jake Brendel had some really quality plays. I can remember three off the top of my head, which is three more than we're used to seeing. Now, I'm not a Jake Brendel guy because he doesn't fit my core philosophy of what it means to be a football player. I need somebody that plays all the time and plays through the whistle. He does not believe in that. And to be fair, neither does Trent Williams. A little bit different whenever you're Trent Williams and Jake Brendel. But like you'll see a lot of times where 71 and 64 block really, really hard for 2 seconds and then just kind of ease up, turn and watch. That's what drives me crazy. But Jake Brendel comes in number 20. Last year was number 16, 2024 was 18, 2023 was 19, 2022 was 21. He stayed right around this realm. Now he's dropped four numbers, not because I think there's competition there. There is not. The roster got better. And so you got more starters elsewhere that surpassed him. We know exactly what to expect from number 64, Jake Brendel. 6'4", 300 pounds, 33 years old. Probably going to be his last year with the 49ers. You'd say that every single year. But his contract was up with no guaranteed money. I was terrified that they would extend him. They did not. They gave him a signing bonus and restructured to and added three void years, got him about $4 million up front, which that's huge. I love that. But if you're the anti-Jake Brendel crowd, which probably am a part of, and I don't like to be anti anybody, especially Jake Brendel's a good dude, man. Great, great dude. But they didn't add any more years. He has three void years, but like they could have extended him. I think this is the last year. The contract would say probably the last year. The drafting of Carver Willis, who I see as the long-term center play, that signifies that as well. Full name, Jacob William Brendel. Born in Madison, Wisconsin. Grew up. Family was involved in local music theater. What's up? A little known fact there. In college, his biggest thrill was winning overtime in the Texas high school playoffs. I think that's awesome. Named to the UCLA Athletic Director's Honor Roll once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine times. Dude is smart. He's intelligent, and that's huge. That translates on the field. Gets calls right most of the time. I think I counted twice where it was like, oh, he called wrong here. That was about it last season. That's pretty solid. Interested in a career in law. Huge fishing guy. That's his favorite hobby. Played football, basketball, baseball, lacrosse, wrestling, and was a competitive swimmer. This guy did it all. Undrafted free agent, signed by the Cowboys back in 2016. He's going into his 10th season, man. You love that from an undrafted free agent. Sixth season as a 49er. This is a Chris Forster special. Brought him from Miami. Just let him learn, let him learn. Again, practice squad for the 49ers. Where else would you rather be? Jake Brindle is one of those guys. He's played almost 5,000 snaps. Almost all those with the 49ers. 69 starts, 66 of those starts with the Niners. Subpar play. I do not think that he is an average center, but you're paying him underneath that as well. You get what you pay for. This is bargain bin shopping, and you're getting that. I actually would be willing to say that he plays higher than what he is getting paid. He only makes just over $4 million a year. He's the 19th highest paid center. 16 is average. You're getting exactly what you paid for. And because you pay so little at the center position, you're allowed to spend elsewhere. That's why you can pay Colton McKivitz, you pay Trent Williams, you pay these guys. You can't pay everybody top dollar money. Jake Brindle, you get what you pay for. And that is value. And he's an iron man. Let's be very, very honest. He had 58 consecutive starts for the 49ers before he got injured with his hamstring, missed two games this year. I will say those were the two best rushing performance games of the Niners all year. Against the Falcons and against the Giants. But that's the negative, right? The positive of Jake Brindle is he's going to get the calls right. He's a huge locker room guy, and he's pretty good in pass pro. He's not great, but he's pretty good. And there are, you know, in the past, I don't know. I go back and forth on this because, you know, after every single game on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon, that's how I feed the family. If you want to support us, please go sign up over there, any tier. We would appreciate it. Jerry Rice here. We got Zoom Hangout Monday. Zoom Hangout Monday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. But, like, I go through every single play three times for the past, I think, 4.5 seasons consecutive. I haven't missed a play. And I get pissed off at times, a lot of times at 64. And I remember one time I was like, that's it. I'm tired of nobody talking about this. And so I just cut plays where Jake Brindle quit. In the middle of the play, well before the whistle, he blocks, stops, turns around and watches Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, all these guys just get killed and steps over their dead, decaying body to go start his huddle lineup. Doesn't help his teammates up ever. And so I cut a whole bunch of clips and I put it out there. Yeah, it picked up traction. It's negative. I don't like to be negative. And I go back and forth if I should do that or if I shouldn't do that. I don't like to draw. These are humans. Jake Brindle's a human. Jake Brindle's an awesome human. I do wish somebody would tell him to block to the whistle, but, you know, it's what it is. And I don't like to draw negative attention to that, but at the same time, like, it's my job as the film guy to let people know, fans, this is why the run game sucks. It's 64. I struggle with putting out negative clips. Negative clips do way better. I don't care about that. That's not my decision-making process. I don't want to be a part of that. But then at the same time, I'm like, dude, people aren't talking about why this player doesn't work. And so I don't know. I still, we're 10 years in. What is this, episode 1675? It's this constant just like, okay, what's my job? What would you say you do here? I don't want to put the negative stuff out there. And shoot, yeah. I'm not going to say that. Anyway, I'm not going to say that. Now, shout out to Ben. I love Ben. He helps with the series, and he added this note in our chats. He said, you know, this is Ben's 2 cents worth for all the disappointing moments on film. Ben has grown to appreciate Jake Brindle. They don't get much tougher and more reliable. Those are Ben's words. And I agree. And pass pro and getting the calls right and always being there, yes. There are certain... What do they call it? The things, the uncomparables, like things I just cannot compromise on. I can't get behind somebody that quits so often. I can't do that. Now, it matters to Jake Brendel, and you see him all the time yelling at himself after he gets destroyed. It gets posterized. That's the thing. His lowlights are the worst lowlights in the NFL. And he's like Pro Football Focus grades. He's got a 71.4. Not bad. Pass pro, 62. Run game, 74. That's awesome. And that's kind of how Pro Football Focus grades. They grade on the first 2 seconds. So he gets to his block every time. The steal shots, you know, coaches do this. I want to snap 1 second and 2 seconds after the tape every time. I want to steal picture so that I can say good, 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 good. 2 seconds. Okay, cool. Good, 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 good. Like, he's great there. After 2 seconds is the problem. And so I struggle. He's made $16 million, guys, in his career as an undrafted free agent. He's playing 10 years. It's badass. There's so much to celebrate with Jake Brendel. I'm just an asshole. And I hate that about myself. Why can't I just focus that Jake Brendel is tough and a good dude? Why do I have to always go back to this? I'm sorry. Maybe I just needed more hugs as a kid. Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah, right here. John needs a meditation break before this segment. Woosaw, woosaw, woosaw. Tile stern turns my stomach. Captain, Brendel has great seats for every game. Dude, my coach, he'd like say it, is like, dude, if you want to watch people play football, buy a damn ticket. I ain't giving you pads if you just go to sit there and watch. I cannot stand it. I would rather you get 15-yard penalties for playing too hard and hit somebody after the whistle than stopping before the whistle. I cannot do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't win with him. Brendel isn't being paid a lot. He's kind of a value for the money for what we are paying him. 100% correct. Very good. Very good. Kaiser, anti-JP crowd. Oh, geez. Brendel always clicks yes when Netflix shows up for that prompt. Oh, gosh. You guys are the greatest. Jake Brendel's awesome. He's such a good dude. We build around Brendel, and we will be solid. The others will elevate his play and motivation. Yeah, the nonpartisan anti-Jake Brendel coalition. notorious. Jake Brendel is somebody we've never overpaid. Okay, he isn't a Pro Bowl level, but he's not as bad as some people make out. Agreed, 100%. Well said. Well said. Most of the time is saying as American as apple pies of mediocrity. Good, good, good. Easy to be an Iron Man when you watch everyone play football. It's calculated. It's calculated. It's what it is. Bid. Yeah, I do hope Carvin Willis earns the job next year. He's a finisher. It's night and day difference. They're mirrored players of each other. Jake Brendel, pass pro, terrible in the run game. Carver Willis gets movement in the run game consistently. He's really bad in pass pro. So you're seeing kind of a flip there. Will it pan out? We'll see. We'll see. I hope so. I really, really hope so. Right here, Kimbro. John, when is the next live hangout? Monday. We got Monday at 5:30 p.m. I have not posted the link yet, so I apologize about that. Apologize about that. Tecmo, do you see Prysock as a free safety potentially? Not yet. Not yet. Prysock, start at outside corner. He's got the height, weight, speed, all that stuff. Outside corner is much more valuable. You fail him there, then get him to safety if it doesn't work out. That's where that is. Yeah, thank you, Notorious. I'm a little bit behind. I'm going to scroll down. Getting lots of those. Yeah, right here, Notorious. I joined the Zoom Hangouts, but it's 1 a.m. Sorry about that. I'm still struggling from the Paris, or coming back from Paris. Oof. That 9-hour difference is killer, bro. Killer. All right, Notorious. This one's for you, bud. Number 19. Juice that like button. Coming off one of his best, if not the best season of his career, which is saying a lot. Kyle Juszczyk, the juice, comes in number 19. Now, he's been with the Niners for 10 years. Him and Kittle are joining the 10-year club. That is such a monumental feat. Especially like the process that Juice had gone through, getting cut, taking a pay cut, going to visit other teams, coming back, all those different things. Now, shoot, since we've been doing the countdown, 2022, Kyle Juszczyk was 14. 2023, he was 21. 2024, he was 20. Last year was 29. This year, 19. His second highest ever appearance on the countdown. And two roles. I think his role is going to be increased early on in the season while Kittle's out. Two, he's coming off his best year. I thought 2023 was his worst year as a pro. And that's when, dude, you got to take a roster cut. You're not as effective, whatever else. 2024 was better. 2025 was great. Where's jersey number 44? 6'1", 235, 35 years old. Coming off your best season at 34. That's crazy, man. Played at Harvard. Oh, have you ever heard that? I never heard anybody say that before. He earned 6 letters in 3 sports in high school. Played numerous positions of football. He was the basketball team's point guard and competed in track and field. 2-time captain for his football team. Led his team in both rushing and receiving yards. National Honor Society, Math League, big fisherman, loves playing card. His great uncle, Dickie Moore, played for the Green Bay Packers. 2-time All-American, tight end, H-back. Back to juice, 3-time All-Ivy League section. I think we have more notes on Kyle Juszczyk than anybody else, and I'm not going to skip one single line. We are going to be here to celebrate number 44 because he deserves it. This dude's been with the Niners for a decade, ladies and gents. A decade. Kyle Juszczyk, a decade. Oh, he's so freaking awesome. Now, he's Harvard's all-time leader in tight ends and receptions, receiving yards, touchdown receptions. He goes into free agency in 2017 and was Kyle Shanahan's first big signing, which is a fullback, and you're like, eh, is that really a big signing? He's been here since. Top fullback paid on the market. He had offers from the Eagles, Browns, Bills, and Niners, chose the Niners, and they signed him to a 4-year, $21 million deal, which was insane back then. He was getting paid kind of top 10 running back money to be a fullback, but the 49ers sucked in 2017 before Kyle Shanahan, and people forget. You forget Chip Kelly. You forget passing gas in the opening press conference. You forget all those things. Shanahan changed that. And part of bad teams changed that is overpaying in free agency. They had to do that. Pierre Garçon, right? Yeah, Malcolm Smith, that was one of the worst contracts ever. But anyway, Juice was a perfect deal. Perfect. Largest contract in the NFL history for a fullback. He won the 2017 Bill Walsh Award. That goes to, it's voted on by the coaching staff and given to the 49er who best represented the standard of professional excellence established by the great Bill Walsh. What an award, man. Juice is that to a T. To a T. He's a leader and a voice on this team. He's a captain. Very key component. And like, even his wife is crazy famous. Like, again, I told this story before. We have had Claire and Kristen come to one of our events before in Arizona. And, man, I've been around Patrick Willis. I've been around Jerry Rice, Frank Gore, you know, all these different, you know, legends, 49ers. I saw grown men turn into middle school girls when Kristen Juszczyk and Claire Kittle walked in. It was a whole different thing. Like, guys grabbing my arm, dude, you got to introduce me. I was like, dude, I ain't doing that. What are you doing? That's not who I am. But, like, that's the thing. Like, she is incredibly famous. Her fashion line, incredible. And, like, you see the fans show up to these Rush road trips in her jackets. And it's just so badass. Like, so cool, man. Kyle Juszczyk became the first fullback ever to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And he's just played so much, man. Listen to his snap count. Just going back to 2021, 809 snaps in 21, 728 in 2022, 654 in 2023. And I think that was his worst year. 544 in 2024 and then 569. I think they found the sweet spot. It's that 20 to 30 snaps. That's where Kyle Juszczyk's effectiveness is maximized. Now, how do you maintain that with George Kittle being out? Is he going to become a more permanent player? We found at 40 snaps a game, Kyle Juszczyk struggles a little bit. He's 35. That 20 to 30 snap range is kind of the perfect spot for him. I hope they keep him in that area. Don't ask too much of him. It just, the efficiency goes down. It just does. But he chose to take a pay cut. He chose to stay here. He said, quote, love for the team and area. Love it, man. 10-year 49er. Congratulations. One of the greatest honors, man. I love it. The last player to make the 10-year list was Joe Staley back in 2019. That, like, it's a rare territory him and Kittle are hitting. 10 Pro Bowls for Kyle Juszczyk, 2 All Pros. What a freaking stud, man. He just does everything. He's the backup punt returner. He's the backup holder. He's the backup kicker. He's the backup punter. He can do everything. He's just awesome, man. And every time he touches the ball, it doesn't matter where you are. I've been to 26 stadiums in the NFL. Every time Kyle Juszczyk gets the ball, it doesn't matter where you are. Juice! Opposing fans do it. Like, the first time he'll get a touch at another stadium, and all the Niners fans, faithful, travel better than anybody. And you'll hear, juice! And the fans be like, what is that? Are y'all booing him? No, it's Kyle Juszczyk. We chant juice. And then he gets another catch or another carry, and then they'll do it. Like, it's contagious. Niners need more chants. They need more stuff. We're really bad in that. Levi's is terrible at it, but we need more of that. We need more fan participation. If you watch the World Cup, like, Niners are just lacking. You go to some of these other stadiums, and they got their shit together. We do not. we need to, come on, 49ers. We need some solidarity and some freaking get fan participation going in games better. Juice is awesome. That is incredible. He was drafted by the Ravens in 2013. He's played a long time. Fourth round pick, number 130. Now this is going to hurt and put into context how long Kyle Juszczyk has been playing, okay? He went one pick ahead. Kyle Juszczyk was picked one pick ahead of another 49ers player, Marcus Lattimore. Ouch. The injury of all injuries, the Trent Baalke. You remember what it used to be like? Never played one snap in the NFL. Marcus Lattimore out of South Carolina. He was supposed to be one of the best ever. That horrible injury. Kyle Juszczyk was drafted one pick after. Two picks after Kyle Juszczyk, the general. Y'all remember him? Quentin Patton? Dude, same draft. Kyle Juszczyk's still doing it, bro. Ugh. 14th season, 10th as a Niner. 221 games, 174 starts, 6,400 snaps on offense, almost 2,000 special team snaps, 326 receptions, 3,100 yards, 21 touchdowns, 6 rushing touchdowns. Does any player impact the game more without the ball in their hands? He has the highest degree of difficulty for blocks every damn play. Every single play, he has the highest degree of difficulty. George Kittle's number 2. You put him in space, in movement, blocking, like it's not as easy as tight ends and tackles and guards and centers and wide receivers with a guy in front of him. You just block him. No. Juice has to motion right, stop, pivot, come back left, block a guy that outweighs him by 50 pounds on the move while the guy has full speed coming every single play. It's a level 10 degree of difficulty every play for Kyle Juszczyk. All he does is deliver. It is a litmus test player. I use this term a lot. If somebody talks trash about Kyle Juszczyk and why do we need him, they do not watch football. They do not understand football. And I don't like doing the condescending blanket statements like that. But it's 100% true. If you're talking to somebody and they're like, yeah, Kyle Juszczyk's so overrated. You don't really need him. What impact does he does? He only gets like so many catches, so many. Like, that is somebody that doesn't understand scheme, film, technique, none of it. They don't. Juice is that damn important. He's that damn important. Oh, he's awesome, man. Career earnings, $46.2 million. For a fullback, baby! Woo! As somebody that's played fullback, I'm terrible. But, like, that is awesome. He is one of one. I love this man. Like, Kyle Juszczyk, like, come on, man. I love this man. How do you not love this dude? Ah, juice. I love it, man. Let's see here. Love me some juice. Notorious. I still acknowledge Kyle Juszczyk as my tribal chief and one true juice. I love it. His intelligence on the field is off the charts. Yes, 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 yes. Atomic juice. I'll never forget meeting his wife in the stands in Arizona game, but I was mistakenly thought it was Kittle's wife, and she put me in my place. Yeah, she feisty, bro. Both of them feisty, bro. But awesome. Just incredible. Notorious. Juice was on fire last year. Proof that when he's targeted more, he gets the job. He's one of the highest success rates in the NFL. Catches everything. Toe tap on the sideline. I would argue the number one highlight of the season last year was the Bears game where Brock Purdy rolls out to the left. Everybody's covered. You know, steps back, steps up, retreats, then runs like he's scrambling, then offloads it to Kyle Juszczyk just standing in the corner of the end zone. Juice was a part of that. Juice was a part of that. An important part of the locker room, yes. Notorious, I remember this very well. He says, Chappers, remember 2 years ago when I was crying about Juice not getting targeted? And look at what he did last year. Just consistent, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. When you look at just what he does, it's consistent. And, you know, I started looking through, let me pull up his Pro Football Reference page. And like, yeah, he led the NFL last year in success percentage when being targeted. 78.6. That is, he led the NFL. He led the NFL. That's awesome. I mean, he had 24 receptions for 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, 10 first downs, 78.6% success rate. That means when you throw the ball to Kyle Juszczyk 80% of the time, 8 out of 10 times, great things are going to happen. That is off the charts. Yeah. Juice is powered by invigorant berries. Where do I put my feet? I love it. That is awesome. Oh, right here, Steven. Seahawks released Harrison Bryant. Should the 49ers pick him up for camp? I wouldn't mind getting somebody in there, and I think they will be able to do that once you put the PUP and NFI list out there. You're going to get a couple more spots on that 91. And so I think that's kind of a big deal. So, yeah, I'm with you. And tight end is a major need. You have somebody that has experience like Harrison Bryant that is a do-it-all kind of tight end. And this is the negative to all those teams drafting tight ends in the second and third round and having 5 to 6 tight ends on the roster. Niners have 2. Niners have 2 guys on their active roster. George Kittle ain't going to be practicing. Khalil Dinkins ain't going to be practicing. You got Tonjes, and you got Farrell. Now, Braden Willis has been around for a long time. I like that. That's cool. You have Hayden Rucci. Ain't enough. Yeah, Ben, Juice is another Iron Man. He is incredible. Dude's played in 206 games. Kyle Juszczyk missed 1 game in 2022. That's it. That's it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 consecutive seasons, Kyle Juszczyk missed 1 game. He missed a couple games in 2019. He missed 4 games. He's missed 5 games, 6, 7 games in 10 years for the 49ers. He's missed 7 games in 10 years. That is insanity when you're colliding with defensive ends, linebackers all the damn time. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Dude, the chat is a bumping today, bro. You guys are killing it. Atomic, thanks for the super chat. Huge, coming in strong. Thanks for doing these roster countdowns, John. I know you and your crew put a lot of info into them. They give us a lot more in-depth look at the players and Niners fits. And it's funny, man. Like, the countdown shows get the least amount of views. I don't care. Like, I do, like, it is a constant assessment of what is my job and my value. And I think a lot of people in this industry get caught up on clicks and views and downloads. And I get it because that's where the dollars and cents come from. It takes more work to do these countdown episodes than almost anything else. And they're amongst my youngest, the lowest views. And like, from a business standpoint, I'd be like, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that anymore. Bullshit. No, this is my job. Nobody else doing it like this. I know Ant does his, you know, depth chart, and other people do depth chart, and that's great. This is not taking shots at anybody else. This is something that I think I place value in. Our job as the 49ers rush team is to educate people and to increase their fan experience. And I think for the, you know, few thousand people that will watch and listen to this episode, I really hope that this accomplishes this. And if you spend time, because what the best thing that happens is I'll be at training camp or a preseason game, and somebody will say, oh, that's so-and-so. And they'll call out like a practice squad player, and they'll be like, dude, I learned that guy's story from you. And like, that is, oh, you can't put a value on that, right? Like, we achieved. But Atomic, I do want to say thank you. And that's why we do it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, right here, David. Hashtag CC. Who's got it better than us? Kid Bro agrees. Yeah, that's way. I appreciate you guys, man. You guys are the best. I love them, man. I know so much more about all the players throughout the season because of these countdowns, and it makes the whole season so much more enjoyable. Thank you, Atomic. Thank you, Atomic. Thank you, Atomic. You are the best. Sid, John, let's face it. These thorough countdown videos are your calling card. I'll take it, man. Thank you. Thank you. Kaiser. John, I always appreciate your offseason work. I've been trying to play catch up to watch them all since opening my own company has consumed my time and your normal lifestyles. Dude, Kaiser crushing. I love people that bet on themselves, man. You ain't going to regret it. You will not regret it, dude. Oh, I freaking love it. I love it. I love it. If there's anything we can do to help, please do not hesitate to reach out. Email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Dude, one of us wins, we all win. I believe in that. I really, really do. And we are a community, period. Period. Ben, legend. He says, when you learn through these stories, yes, what incredible people football players are, even the guys that never make it, it's pretty damn special as humans. Yes. This is where we get the power of empathy, and you learn. Man, these people go through so much. That's why I love Sam O so much. You read his story, and it's just like, holy shit, dude. Civil wars back home in Africa, separated from family, to playing football, to doing this. And it's just like, hell yes, man. Yes. That's what it's about. And so thank you to Ben, Zach, and Josh for, you know, compiling this list and doing this research and fighting with us and spending the time. It's awesome, man. I mean, we just talked for an hour and 13 minutes about five people. That's awesome. Freaking, oh, yeah, right here. Yeah, do what you love. I believe in that too. I believe in that. It's never too late to start a side hustle, see if it works out. Bet on yourself, as always. Guys, this has been a blast. I will not have a show tomorrow. The Chapmans, we got a garage sale. I'm gonna be working outside, trying to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. Hopefully, some people that need some stuff can get some stuff. And we can get that into the right hand. So no show tomorrow. Should be back Sunday. But yeah, man, it's been a fun week. I love being back at the grind. You guys are the best. Now, if there is some major camp news as players report tomorrow, there won't be a practice. It'll be health checkups, all that kind of stuff. Equipment, all that stuff. That's what's going to be happening. So I don't expect a lot of news. But if there is major news, I will do a show in the afternoon. Definitely won't be able to do a show before 2:30 for sure. But if there is some breaking news, then for sure I'll jump on here in the afternoon. Other than that, you guys have been absolutely incredible and so thankful for spending any of your time with me. Remember, Monday, 5:30 p.m., we have our Zoom hangout. Go sign up at the49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. Both link is in the description of this show. Go click, check it out. That's how I feed the family. If you like it, sign up. 7-day trial for free. Click around, watch some videos, learn some stuff, some football 101. All that's there. Come to the Zoom hangout. Cancel afterwards. I ain't going to be mad at you. Until next time, thank you for this opportunity. And as always, stay strong, faithful.